I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, offering up a safe space to the independent thinkers out there. I've actually been gone for a week. It's 5.5 years here at WYAB. I've had 2 weeks that I've taken off. One was my Big Pharma-sponsored trip down to the island of the Bahamas. Of course not. I went as a dissenter just because of a relationship that I had with a pharmaceutical sales rep. And then I took a professional class last week for some work that I do outside of the station here. So it was very interesting. It's not often that I get a week kind of detached, and I purposefully detached kind of from the news, but I've been clipping things that have been happening. It certainly was an eventful week nationally and even here in Mississippi, so we've got plenty to talk about today. Well, thanks, Stephen Utroska came in for me the first 3 days of last week and did a live show for us, so I appreciate Stephen doing that for me. He is certainly capable, and one of the few people I can find who's got a pretty heavy libertarian bent to him. He believes that the Republican Party can be saved. I believe that we may need to chart a different course. We continue to have that debate, but we're friends, and I really appreciate what Stephen does. He's a thinker. Stephen Utroska, he's a good guy. He's a great fill-in host for me, so thank you to him for doing that. But we will get after it today. It's yesterday was a day of celebration of really what I like to think of as tax evasion and disobedience. Now, this is, I will reiterate, after a week gone, this is a libertarian show. This is something very different than you'll get on typical conservative talk radio, because even today's patriots, and I use that term in air quotes here, just want their guy or their gal to run the most obtrusive government ever known to planet Earth. This is a sad decline over the past 100 years. We're about to see how that all ends up working out. This was, in honor of what took place back in 1776, it really was about tax evasion and disobeying the overarching government. I'm going to read to you this morning, as I continue to be impressed by the new Libertarian Party. I have not been a partisan for about 17, 18 years now. When I left the Republican Party, when I realized I've been sold a bill of goods, and the Libertarian Party itself has been a train wreck, so I've been a man without a home, but I think they have built one for me, the Ron Paul faction taking over the Libertarian Party. I'm going to read you some of the things that they've been tweeting out in observance of what is used to be known as Independence Day. Now it's just July 4th. And I think that it's worth on a libertarian show to point out it was a day about getting rid of the yoke of taxation, largely, and just overarching controlling a government. This is what the Libertarian put out about Independence Day. Libertarian Party said America's founding generations seceded from their government in 1776 over far less tyranny than that which destroyed your currency, locked you down, confiscated half your income, subjected you to a police state, and sent your countrymen to die in foreign entanglements. This is the Libertarian Party pointing out that we fought the Revolutionary War against things that were basically just a fraction of what we're putting up with today. I think the patriots should be reminded of that. And if you are actually opposed to the tyranny that has unfolded in front of us, maybe being a part of the Republican Party is not your most effective tool. the Republicans. I've got some things from them, too. The Libertarian Party also put out, when Republicans and Democrats go to battle over taxes in Congress, the debate almost always centers around whether each respective income bracket should be plus or minus 3%. Unlike them, we seek an absolute end to income taxation and every other form of state extortion. I'm telling you, these people are building a home for me. The right people are running the Libertarian Party. I've made this point so often that Republicans are bribed with their own money. Donald Trump told you he was going to take 3% less, and you worshiped him like a god. He still took 24%, but he didn't take that 27%, and for some reason, people fell all over themselves to thank him for leaving you with 76% of your money rather than just 73%. Libertarian Party says, we seek an absolute end to income taxation and every other form of state extortion. Libertarian Party also, for Independence Day, wrote, the Declaration of Independence expressed that natural rights make individuals sovereign over the state and that all free people can alter or abolish their government at will. While the regime rejects these concepts, we view them both as America's cornerstone principles. Individuals created all the property and prosperity that now exists, not the Federal Reserve, not the IRS, not the state bureaucrats, not state wealth redistribution schemes. Individuals build and the state destroys. This is what the Libertarian Party is putting out. I'm going to get to the GOP in just a second. I'm going to show you. I think it's important to kind of juxtapose for all of you patriots out there who celebrate Independence Day as the founding of the greatest country that ever lived, to be pointed out that we live under a worse tyranny right now than we did in 1776. If you want to rediscover your patriotic roots for freedom and independence, maybe now is the time. Libertarian Party put this out. The Senate, they were talking about gun control. I said the Senate passed an abominable piece of rubbish with the complicity of both the GOP and DNC. Our rights aren't up for debate, let alone a vote. We will continue printing untraceable 3D guns and nullify at the local level! Exclamation point. And then just to kind of throw this one in too, the Libertarian Party pointing out the painfully obvious to most of us out here that the two major parties don't seem to really care much about. Libertarian Party tweeted out, Ghislaine Maxwell was just sentenced to 20 years for sex trafficking underage girls. But for whom? We demand that the Epstein client list, but more importantly, we demand to know who financed the operation. It's very, very interesting. That was one of the things, I guess, that took place while I was away. Ghislaine Maxwell was sentenced, but of course we have no earthly idea who was using her services. Isn't that interesting that that's kind of been brushed under the rug? Now, I have my suspicions on the sentencing, as I've brought up every day since they say she was arrested. Has anybody seen, during this latest sentencing, has anybody seen a recent picture of Ghislaine Maxwell in custody anywhere at any time since she was announced to have been captured? To my knowledge, there has not been one. You can email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com, and send me if you have any picture of Ghislaine Maxwell within the last 5 to 10 years. All the pictures they use of her and all these stories are all very old. The GOP, in contrast, tweeted out these things. Proud to be an American. This is their Independence Day celebration where they've got a picture of Mount Rushmore celebrating people like Abraham Lincoln. Not a big guy for states' rights. But also, of course, the top of it is proud to be an American, and it is a military jet flyover as the Republican Party continues to try to convince the patriots in this country that militarization is the greatness of the United States. They also put out this little juicy nugget of two-party political theater when it came to the July 4th. Now, I want you to just remember what the Libertarian Party spent their Independence Day was pointing out, that the tyranny we're under right now is worse than what was going on in 1776. They pointed out that we should be abolishing a government if it does not serve our needs. They pointed out that they should end all income taxation and any other state extortion to return us to our founding principles, while the Republicans did this.
Happy birthday, America. Folks, as a combat veteran, I know that freedom isn't free. But with Bidenflation, celebrating freedom has never been more expensive.
The cost of celebrating America's birthday Rick with Scott. Family and friends has skyrocketed.
Oh, they point out they've got a little graphic here. The cost of a July 4th cookout is up $10.18. You hear the fun little music and the wah, wah, wah. They're using the term Bidenflation. As I've told you, that term, while Joe Biden is a disaster as president of the United States, and has been a disaster for his 40 years in Congress as well, but this is the idea. They don't want you to figure out that these same Republicans who voted for massive spending policies that required massive amounts of money printing to pull off is what has actually caused the inflation. They're trying to dupe you with their little cute July 4th thing. We're about to hear a character from even here in Mississippi.
Right now, gas is $5 a gallon, and food prices are continuing to climb higher.
Throwing burgers on the grill? It'll cost you a whopping 17% more this year than last for 2 pounds of ground beef. Average cost, $9.48.
There you go. That's your own Cindy Hyde-Smith pointing out the rising cost of 2 pounds of ground beef. The energy she exudes in this thing really shows the charisma that she has that keeps her in office. More about that later.
Hot dogs today are up about 15%. A bag of chips to go with them maybe up 14%.
Pork chops? Up about 7%, and the Whopper chicken breast, 27%.
You may consider just sticking with dessert.
This is Senator John Cornyn. He took his time out to be a part of this cute little GOP video where they point out the few dozen dollars extra that you're going to spend for your July 4th thing. This is the same guy who spent last week or the week before last negotiating away little pieces of your Second Amendment rights. But he had time to take a break and do a cute little thing about the cost of your July 4th picnic.
Sadly, frozen treats are also feeling the heat from price hikes, with ice cream rising an average of 14%.
It's clear that life in Biden's America is no picnic. But even in the hardest of times, we can't forget to celebrate everything that makes America the greatest country in the world.
So to my fellow Texans and to all Americans, happy 4th of July.
God bless you and enjoy a very happy 4th of July.
Hope everybody has a safe...
I mean, I'm sorry. I understand that things hit me very differently than they hit a lot of people. I am reading things from a Libertarian Party that basically say we live under a tyranny now that is so much worse than it was in 1776. The taxes are higher. The limits on our movement over the last 2 years have been worse. The foreign entanglements we have, we send our young kids off to fight and die in wars we have no business being involved in. That's what the Libertarian Party focuses on. For the GOP, they're talking about the cost of sweet treats for your July 4th picnic. And the reason that they call this Bidenflation, I've said this many times, I'm sorry to repeat myself, but I have had a week off, so I'm going to refresh everyone's memory. The reason that they talk about Bidenflation and put out this cute little video, it's got some peppy little background music there to really kind of make you smile, is because they want to keep you on the plantation. And whatever you do, do not question. Do not question. Do not understand. The GOP is hell-bent that you do not understand the fact that it is the money printing from this massive federal government. And I will remind you that when the Republicans have been in charge, they have grown the government to every degree that the Democrats have as well when it comes to spending. Priorities might be different, but they have continued this money printing thing. They don't want you to take away that punch bowl. So they use the two-party theater, the cute little term, Bidenflation. It's very effective. They're much more effective than I am, because I see people using this term constantly across the conservative landscape. It just assures that the Federal Reserve and monetary policy in this country will go unnoticed and unresolved, and people will think that they can vote themselves out of this inflation come this November and in 2024. There's a huge difference between the Libertarian Party and the Republican Party. I've never been more proud to have shunned the latter for the former. I'll be right back.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night 50 vibes a day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side.
So I've been watching just kind of from afar, detached for a week, no radio show. I gotta say, it's an interesting thing to have a microphone for 2 days and then be away from it for a week. Because when you hear, and I would watch the news or I would talk to people and realize how badly people misdiagnose things, don't understand things like monetary policy or even the Supreme Court decision on Roe v. Wade. We'll talk about that in a little bit as well. It was really pretty fascinating. I left soon after the decision, and so I've been away really since Friday when the news broke that they'd overturned Roe v. Wade. It was really interesting to see how that message was massaged through the media and used to deceive people. And I had conversations with people because I've maintained friendships with people on the left. And it was interesting talking to them and kind of walking them down from the ledge to explain to them exactly what had happened. But we'll probably talk about that in a little bit. But it's interesting when it comes to this inflation stuff. It's so sad to see the Republicans try to mislead conservatives and Republican voters on what's going on with inflation and try to lay it at the feet of this one brain-addled, mentally deficient. Is he an octogenarian yet? Is Joe Biden over 80? He sounds like he's in his early 90s, late 90s. But it's fun to talk about Joe Biden, but it's not accurate if you ever want to change anything. This was interesting. This was Jerome Powell. Who is the most powerful man in America? One of the most powerful people in the world, far more powerful than Joe Biden, and nobody knows who he is. It's very interesting. I've highlighted, I've said his name probably more times on this radio show than anybody in the state of Mississippi. It probably gets a good deal of yawns, but it's wildly important. This is Jerome Powell talking about inflation.
One way to say it would be, I think we now understand better how little we understand about
that's
inflation.
That's not very reassuring.
No, honestly, this was unpredicted. I was looking at our at the time of our June meeting 1 year ago, of the 35 people who filed with a survey of professional forecasters, 34 of them had inflation below 4% for last year. And of course,
So this is Jerome Powell. This is Jerome Powell, your head central banker here in the United States, saying this was unanticipated. Nobody could have seen this inflation coming. There was just no way to have seen it. Now, that's not entirely true. Let me find this story here. It was just interesting. This story was put out. It's actually a large piece about trying to declare your independence from the Federal Reserve. It talks about cryptocurrencies. We understand that there are some problems there right now. But here's a couple of tweets that went out in March. This is March 26th of 2020. Again, you just heard your Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell say, we're now understanding what we didn't understand about inflation. This was entirely unpredicted. Out of our 35 economists, 34 of those 35 saw inflation at under 4%. He's just now figuring out that printing up massive amounts of money, he could look at what Rome did. He could look at what Zimbabwe did, what Argentina has done over the years. He could look at other societies and see that inflating your money supply creates inflation at the consumer price level. But he acts like he had no idea this was going to happen. So this is just interesting for context. This is Thomas Massie, Republican congressman from Kentucky, libertarian Republican congressman from Kentucky. In March 26th of 2020, he tweeted out, $2 trillion spent by Congress, $4 trillion spent by the Fed and the Treasury. That's $6 trillion in stimulus. Again, and I want to remind everybody, this was under Donald Trump. This is Thomas Massie says, $6 trillion divided by 350 million citizens is $17,000 per citizen times a family of four equals $68,000 per family of new national debt and dollar devaluation in this stimulus. Not a good deal. Thomas Massie, the libertarian Republican from Kentucky, was telling you exactly what was going to happen back on March 26th of 2020 when they were first voting on this COVID money during the Trump administration. But Jerome Powell says nobody could have seen this coming. This is what they always retreat to. Peter Schiff, on March 27th of 2020, said, And Peter Schiff ran for the Republican Senate seat out of, I believe it was Connecticut. He's a libertarian as well. He's a libertarian Republican. Peter Schiff on March 27th of 2020 said, as the Fed will create all of this money, and he was talking about the stimulus plan passed under the Trump administration. He said, as the Fed will create all of this money out of thin air, the people will pay the cost through inflation. Again, this is March 27th of 2020, long before we were talking about the $5 gallon gasoline. He said, consumer prices are about to soar, wiping out the savings of millions of Americans and destroying the purchasing power of wages for millions more. The Federal Reserve tells you, we never could have seen this coming. 34 out of our 35 prized economists never thought this would happen. We thought inflation might get up to 4%. Libertarians were telling you this was going to happen all along. And yet, still, the GOP in their Independence Day address for you don't talk about the tyranny we're under. They don't talk about the oppressive taxation. They talk about the cost of sweet treats during your July 4th picnic. Yeah, this was entirely predictable. And I would imagine if you went back through the last 800 episodes of the Mike Madison Show here on WYAB, you've heard me warning about this inflation since 2017. I'm surprised it didn't get here sooner. But this certainly was bound to happen. All right, when I come back, there was certainly a development last Tuesday. We had an election here that I had to watch from afar from a hotel room in Plano, Texas. Kind of depressing. What happened?
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. So I had to view the runoff in the primary election for the 3rd Congressional District from afar last week. And apparently, Michael guessed, the establishment Republican Party did what the establishment Republican Party in Mississippi does, and they went ahead and rolled all you conservatives again by continuing to keep the establishment candidate in office. Now, I really did not see, and I haven't had conversations, I'm in part of some group text, and I saw the disappointment among people. We certainly were cheering for some upsetting of the apple cart here at WYAB because of really just it's time to send a message to both political parties. I know a lot of Democrats that are equally disgusted with their own party and to start taking down some of this establishment. And it looked like, it sure looked like on that first primary day that there was a possibility that Republicans had had it. They wanted some change. They were not going to give this long rope to people. Here's what voting has been. I mean, the establishment Republican Party in Mississippi in my adult life was something like 25-0. 25-0. That may be more. We don't get this chance very often to actually primary somebody because the Republicans do what I call the Mississippi shuffle, which is they serve until they're good and ready to step down, and then they just appoint somebody to that position. So they go into an election as an incumbent. Now, Michael Guest did win in an open primary of the vacated Greg Harper seat. So that was an open election. We haven't had an open seat in the Senate here in something like 40 years. They have had somebody retire and appoint somebody. And the bottom line is the establishment Republican Party did what the establishment Republican Party does, and it just rolled the voters again. Now, you will probably talk to some people that are in the Guest camp or some of the kind of call them normie Republicans. And they will tell you that they really wish that we had term limits, but they have just shown you that they really don't care about term limits. Michael Guest has served 2 terms. This will be his 3rd. If they were serious about term limits and moving from one candidate to another, they might have expressed that in this election. You always have an opportunity. This is why I'm so unimpressed with people who talk about term limits. You always have an opportunity. And the primary is that chance to change horses and put your politicians on a short leash. We're just not known to do that here in Mississippi. But I am curious how everybody's feeling about the Republican Party winning again. I know a lot of people who listen to WYAB, several of them, probably Guest fans. Look, Michael Guest is not the worst guy that's ever been sent to Congress. I knew Michael Guest years and really decades ago. Certainly a nice guy. I don't have anything against him personally. But he certainly is loading up the cart to send money to Ukraine. He voted for January 6th. He was for it before he was against it, as they say. But I had really hoped that the Republicans out there would send some level of a message that you're going to hold your elected representatives accountable. But maybe there's a lot of normie Republicans out there that watch enough Sean Hannity where they believe that sending $54 billion, I think it's getting close to $100 billion now going to Ukraine. And all these little, every other day there's another package of $450 million or $1 billion that's being sent over to Ukraine. And Michael Guest is certainly happy to send that money off of our shores. I had really hoped that maybe we would send some level of message to the establishment Republican Party, but there was certainly suspicion before I left that this would be turn out the way it always turns out here in Mississippi. It doesn't mean you don't fight to try to change it. And there certainly was more energy for this primarying than I've seen in quite a while. But the bottom line is the establishment Republican Party in Mississippi is undefeated. Now, I don't know. I have not had a chance to really talk to anybody in the know. Was this done by normie Republicans who came out to defend this fine Christian DA from Madison and Rankin County? Or was this Democrats crossing over and voting in the primary? I really don't know. I know that was the suspicion going in. I'm sure some of that maybe took place. But I haven't gotten any real facts or data on the number of people that voted. I don't know what the solution to these kinds of problems is. But I'll tell you, if you are disaffected with the way that primary turns out, maybe you would consider changing your voter registration. The primaries in Mississippi right now are open primaries. It wouldn't stop you from voting at any point, as far as I can tell. But maybe the only message that you can send to Republicans now is if everybody switched their voter registration to independent, or really scare the pants out of them, become libertarians. I'm kind of hawking that party now, aren't I? Look, I'm under no illusion that the Libertarian Party is about to take over the country, but it starts somewhere. And the Libertarian Party is more serious about freedom and liberty, all the things that patriots pretend to be for. So it seems like, I don't know, maybe you would at least get a shift in the way that you're governed here in the state if the Republican Party lost a ton of people. There's a story out that the nationally, the GOP has picked up 1 million more voters. Boy, this is not surprising with the mess that the Democrats have created. It's been very interesting. I've watched some news while it was gone. I wanted to stay a little plugged in, but I'll be honest with you. I kind of enjoyed the breather of having to unpack all of this stuff on the air every day. But it was pretty amazing to look, and I saw the young lady who talked about Trump grabbing for the steering wheel, that whole ridiculous, the theater of the January 6th hearings, the bombshell. We are now 6 years into Trump bombshells, each one of them going to take him down. But it was interesting to watch people in this administration. You realize this country is really being run by absolute imbeciles. It just didn't matter what position, whether it's energy policy, transportation with Buttigieg, if it's Kamala Harris, we are run by absolute children and imbeciles in this government right now. Usually they're not this stupid. They're evil. Even when the Republicans run things, you're looking at people like Dick Cheney and John Bolton. I mean, evil psychopaths is what the Republicans infest the government with. But they're smart. They're crafty. They're crafty people, not dummies. Right now, we got a bunch of dummies running the government. It's pretty amazing to see how empty some of these people are that are running this government now. But the Republican Party wins again. So there you go. Sorry to Michael Cassidy, who put up a hell of a fight. The guy had a ton of energy, and I believe he put a ton of his own personal money in there. That's got to hurt. That's going to leave a mark, I'm sure. I remember looking at when Hillary Clinton lost in 2016. She was Well, see, it's $2.5 million supposedly of her own money that she put into the campaign. She was sending out, after her loss to Trump in 2016, she was sending out fundraising things to pay herself back, and I believe people did. Because they know the Clintons actually are still powerful, can still dole out favors. They're still plugged in to this government. But I don't believe Michael Cassidy has the juice. I don't know if he gets paid back any of that money, if his supporters are going to donate to make him whole, because then it just leaves the donors with a hole in their pocket, although smaller. But he put a bunch of his own money in there, so God love him for going out there and trying. But the Mississippi voters have spoken. They like the status quo. Mississippi is a very interesting state. We're the most bland, vanilla, uninteresting, uncreative state when it comes to our political leaders. Roger Wicker, Greg Harper, Cindy Hyde Smith. We just continue to vote for these kind of cutout, establishment, uninspiring Republicans and just refuse to make any changes whatsoever. Now, I'm not saying that that is a well-timed emergency test of the machine that you're going after, the Mississippi Republican machine. But anyway, it was sad to watch from a side, because I understand that the Republican Party believes and understands. No, they know that Mississippi voters appear to be some of the most easily manipulated people when it comes to the establishment winning the day. This happens down at the Capitol and state government. This happens with our federal elections when it comes to go to Washington, D.C. They will continue to get away with this. We realize here at WYAB, we're largely in a little bit of a bubble here of some kind of rebel rousers, whether it was COVID or whether it was these primaries. We're in a little bit of a unique niche bubble here of people who are really pretty much fed up with the system. This is not the overarching number of people. I've spoken about this before. You can feel like, because you may be surrounded by what you consider freedom fighters and patriots, but you have to realize that for every one of you, there are 10 people either disengaged, unengaged, or are ready to go with the status quo, and they have spoken. And this is what you're up against. You have got to continue to try to change minds. In the meantime, Republicans will continue to get away with saying the words Bidenflation so that you don't figure out what's actually happening. They will keep sending billions of dollars to Ukraine to try to kick off World War III and then send our sons and daughters, moms and dads, brothers and sisters halfway around the world to fight a war that we started in the first place. And they will continue to keep picking your pockets using the Internal Revenue Service and any other state extortion as long as you let them go. And they'll keep printing up the money that will juice this inflation and you will pay the cost of all of it. The Republican Party has got you right where they want you. Be right back. I've been gone for a week, so I'm out of my routine. I even got to the station late today. It's interesting. I'm a very kind of habitual person. I do like some scheduling. I get bored at the same time. It's a weird contradiction within my own life. But I failed to read some of my quotes of the day today. This was from J.R.R. Tolkien. He said, "My political opinions lean more and more to anarchy. The most improper job of any man, even saints, is bossing other men. Not one in a million is fit for it, and least of all those who seek the opportunity." Amen, brother. There were some funny things as well. Somebody had sent this out in a tweet. It said, "Diesel fuel is $5.85 a gallon in Texas. I filled up my truck. It took 32 gallons. That's a total of $187.20. I drove off without paying. My court date is July 19th. Or I can pay $85 fine online right now. That's a grand savings of $102.20. Follow me for more money-saving tips." Now, I got to say, I don't know when this has got to be a hoax. I did live through the times where you could actually go fill up your tank of gasoline and then go in and pay. Does anybody remember that? We were on the honor system when it came to paying for fuel. I don't know how in the world you get away with pumping any gas without payment up front. But anyway, you got to love the creativity of Americans as they battle with inflation. Here's a fun one. If I have one little niche on this show, what I try to accomplish is to bring you something very different. And that is by covering some of the stories that will not get any mainstream news coverage. I don't do the political theater here much. You don't hear a lot about AOC on my show or even Chuck Schumer or any of the bad guys out there because it's covered endlessly somewhere else. But there are other things going on behind the curtain, backstage, that I think people need to know about. And one of these things is, I'm going to say it again, the Federal Reserve, what they're up to these days. And this is just interesting. It's just something to kind of think about. Well, when interest rates were zero, when the banks parked their money with the Fed, they didn't get any of their money. They didn't really get much of a return on it. They park assets there overnight. We've talked about the reverse repo facility because the numbers that are going into this reverse repo market, they used to be in the tens of billions of dollars, occasionally spiking up to a few hundred billion dollars. Lately, it's been around $2.3 trillion. Something is broken in our financial system. I can't quite figure out exactly what this means, but if you look at the chart of what's taking place overnight with the Fed's reverse repo facility usage, it looks like something is horrifically broken. We'll find out if it has any consequences. But what this is a place where big banks and financial institutions can park money overnight. And now that interest rates have risen, they're getting some return on it. Would you like to know how much? Remember, this is newly printed up cash at a time where the Federal Reserve is telling you that they're committed to fighting inflation, which was caused by their money printing. And so they say they're fighting inflation. It's kind of funny. They were supposed to withdraw $90 billion out of the economy to start taking some of this money back in quantitative tightening in June. I don't think they accomplished that. The last I heard, they had actually printed up $20 billion more instead of taking $90 billion out. Anyway, overnight lending to the banks and major institutions, as I said, is up to $2.3 trillion now. And now, because interest rates have gone up, the banks are getting return on that money. Would you like to know how much? With rates now in the overnight lending markets at 1.55% on that $2.3 trillion, there are 108 institutions that are parking cash at this facility overnight, and they are collecting around $100 million a day on this money. Now, don't try this at home because you have no access to this institution. You can't park your money with the Federal Reserve overnight, but the big bank institutions right now are being paid $100 million in the, which one is this? There's a reverse repo and a repo market. I think this is the reverse repo. The direct repo market, and I'd like to explain this to you, but I have to watch a video, and my retention of exactly, this thing is so complicated, of exactly what's going on escapes me after about an hour, so I can't explain it totally, but they have in excess reserves, they have got about $3 trillion that they're parking with the Fed. This means that every night they're collecting, these big banking institutions are collecting about $141 million. So the total between the two is the Fed is printing up $241 million a night and giving it out to the big banks. This is money printed. This will exacerbate inflation. This adds to the money supply. This is paid directly to even foreign banks. Now, the sad thing is that your name is on every dollar. You are, and your productivity as a wage slave here in this country, where they tax every nickel that you make, you are the collateral for this newly printed money every time they print it up. $241 million a night. Now, this is set to rise as the Federal Reserve continues to increase interest rates. I'm telling you, the Federal Reserve is the Death Star. If you want to change this country, this is the nexus. But as interest rates go up, this money paid out to these institutions, these big banking institutions, will continue to climb. It is starting now with historic low rates at $241 million a night, printed up and paid to these banking institutions. And the Fed is expected to double this, so we will be looking at close to $500 million a night in the coming year that will be paid out to the big banks. Your name, your children's name, is collateral for every one of these dollars, and you will suffer the inflation from this. Republicans won't talk about this. Democrats won't talk about this. Politicians won't talk about this because this is the game they want to continue. We shouldn't want it. Be right back.
I see the shadows on my face. People have told me I don't look the same. Maybe I lost weight. I'm playing hooky.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. I've been away for a week. It was an interesting time. It's nice to detach sometimes from this kind of stuff. I've got to tell you that I believe that the future of this country is in a very precarious place. I don't think there's anything that's going to stop it because 95% of the people don't understand what's happening, don't really want to understand what's happening. They are just captured by charlatans who convince you that they are the keys to your problem. What I really came to was that, and I was in classes all last week. There were a dozen of us, and these were people from around the country. And I sat next to a guy from the Congo. It's very interesting. I really do admire these people who come. His first language was French. I didn't know they spoke French in the Congo, but that's his native tongue. And you could tell from his accent that English was a very secondary language. And we were going over some pretty complex stuff, and for somebody, I just can't even imagine going to another country, having to learn their language, and then sit through very technical classes on that subject. Also met a guy that was there, I forget where he was from, where he lives now. Oh, I think he lived in Dallas, actually, but he was originally from Nigeria. And Nigerians, I believe, do speak English. I don't know if that's their native tongue, but it's interesting. I don't know if you've had any experience with Nigerians. In my experience, some of the hardest working people I've ever met. I had a kitchen manager years and years ago that was from Nigeria, and this guy was tireless in the way he worked. He took so much work off of me. I always knew his area of concern was going to be handled. There was just absolutely no question. He wasn't always the politest guy as to the rest of the people in the kitchen, but he got his work done. And I transferred between restaurants, would get moved around when I was with a corporate restaurant chain, and I found myself a few years later in the presence of another Nigerian. Same thing. Absolute, tireless, focused workers. It was another kitchen manager. Later in my career, I found myself interviewing a Nigerian. I just hired him. When I heard the accent, I said, "Where are you from?" He said, "Well, originally I'm from Nigeria." I said, "You're hired." And I was asking this guy in my class the other day, I said, I have always been amazed at the productivity and the hard work of Nigerians that I've worked with. He said, "Look, in Nigerian society, if you do not work hard, you are left behind. If you do not pull your weight." Now, I don't know how successful Nigeria is as a country. I get the feeling that a lot of countries in Africa are, so often they are run by truly horrible people in those countries. But he said, in Nigeria, you either pull your weight or people will just abandon you. It was very interesting. But I was with these 12 people outside of a political structure in any way, and it is really amazing. It just reinforced my love of interacting with individuals. There were people there from Iowa, somebody there from New York, somebody from D.C., somebody from Lafayette, Louisiana, where my son is currently residing. So there were people from all around, and it was really great to get to know some other people. And I just found myself, between coming home at the end of the day to try to figure out what was going on in the news, interacting with these individuals just on an individual basis during the course of the day, and then seeing, I realize I love individuals, I loathe society. It has just gotten to the point where I just cannot abide by people in large groups. They lose their ever-loving mind, and it doesn't matter which side you're on. Now, this may trigger some people. We know that the left has got some harebrained ideas. There's no doubt about it, and the woke crowd is very hard to tolerate. There's no doubt about that. But I watched a lot in light of the Roe v. Wade ruling as well. And I saw people on the right, immediately they started taking it to, and this may have been conscious by the media themselves, that the next things were going to be birth control and gay marriage. I did see groups of conservative people who, and I supported the overturning of Roe versus Wade too, but I saw groups of conservative people saying this is just the beginning, and it just struck me as somebody who is an observer. I constantly point this out. I'm not part of any large group. If I do start to really embrace the Libertarian Party, believe me, that's not a large, that is not a really large group, but it's a large group of individuals, not of collectivists on either side. But I saw a lot of the people on the right kind of really dancing, doing the kind of crowing that I've seen on the left when it comes to any of these left-wing issues, as they have won so often. But one of the most deplorable things that I saw was the media's response to the striking down of Roe v. Wade, that tried to convince the American people that now abortion was illegal across the country. I tried to really watch as though I didn't know anything, and just to listen to the words and how they presented this. And this was said to be an attack on women. Obviously, for those of us who understand it, it just went back to the states where it's belonged all along. But I was contacted by people, and there are some people that I reached out to. Again, I keep my left-wing friends. I find some of them to be very interesting. I have good debates with them. And there were a couple of them who looked at this as that. We're losing our rights. I said, no, you're absolutely not. This is a states' rights issue, and the states will decide this. And we got down to this idea of, well, you know, now women are going to have to travel. It was very interesting to see the laundry list of corporations that were coming out and offering to pay for the travel. It was a large group. I don't know, 40 of the major S&P 500 companies came out, some of the biggest names out there, saying they were going to pay for women to go have an abortion in another state. I found that very interesting, because the way it hit me when I first heard that was, well, of course they will. That's a hell of a lot cheaper than letting somebody have a maternity leave and then have to worry about. I've hired people who have young children. They miss a lot of days of work. The left will see this, again, this weird twist of the left over the last 5 to 10 years, where they have fallen in love with the biggest globalist corporations that they challenged just a short 10 years ago. Now they find them in love with the Pfizers and the Amazons and these other companies. And I realize that these companies are doing a calculation in the back of an envelope and saying, oh, look at that. If we don't want our employee base to start having a bunch of kids, kids get sick, the parents take days off, we've got to pay for maternity leave, they're a cost to our insurance when they have, you know, a birth in a hospital, I'm sure is north of $20,000 or $30,000 at this point, just for the birth itself. They're making a financial calculation. The left thinks it's because they love them. But I got into a conversation with somebody that was on the left that was just devastated by this ruling. At first, they really thought that this was now law, that you could no longer get an abortion in the United States, so I had to point this out. I understood why they came to that. I understand they're a victim of mainstream and Democrat brainwashing. I said, no, that won't be the case. And they lived in Louisiana, who I believe moved immediately to end all abortions in the state of Louisiana. I think that's been put on hold now, but they were one of the first states that I guess they had a trigger law that if Roe was ever overturned, that they would ban abortions there. I said, you might have to travel. And it was very interesting to me in having conversations with people on the left, and they said, well, yeah, but this is, you know, you're putting an undue burden on somebody. They've already gone through, and in this person was talking about in cases of rape or incest. They're actually a pretty conservative person, but they were a pro-choice person. They said, you're taking somebody who's already gone through a trauma, and then you're heaping another trauma upon them, having to make them go from state to state. And one of the things I pointed out was I know a lot of people in the state of Mississippi who have been diagnosed with cancer, but they felt that the best care that they could get was at MD Anderson in Houston, Texas. So they were stricken with this trauma of being diagnosed with a potentially life-threatening form of cancer, but then they had to load up themselves and their spouse and sometimes take a child two states away to Texas to access the best care that they thought they could find at MD Anderson. There is no guarantee in the Constitution of some level of convenience. And so it was interesting to walk back and to talk to some of these people on the left and deprogram them from this idea that suddenly women's rights were stripped. It was most interesting, too, to see all of the protest in the states that would not be affected at all.
your Californias, Illinois, New Yorks, where they had the biggest protest, the biggest screaming, when absolutely nothing had changed for them at all. And of course, this was echoed by a lot of the celebrities. I heard Wanda Sykes, I guess, was on one of the late, I believe it was Colbert. So you can imagine the propaganda that came out of the Colbert show with Wanda Sykes, who was a black lesbian comedian. And she went on to terrorize all of the people in the crowd there and people around the country, thinking they had been stripped of this, what they viewed as a constitutional right. It was really kind of sick to say to see how people were abused on that. But I do caution people on the right. It was actually very easy for me to have conversations with people on the left and make sure that they understood that this was now a states' rights issue. This is not something to hyperventilate about. I'm a pro-life person, so I will make that argument that that is a human being in there, and you have that discussion. And many people have been turned from pro-choice to pro-life over the years. It's a polite conversation. But I saw on the right a whole lot of grave dancing. Maybe that's the wrong term to use in this particular issue. But I saw a whole lot of taunting on social media, and this is where I say I cannot abide by society. Individuals are so great. It's so nice to interact with people of all walks of life, black, white, young, old, from the South, the North, the East, and the West. It's so interesting to get along with those people. But as soon as we herd ourselves on one side of some ideological issue, just the worst in people seems to come out. There was one story in particular I saw that seemed to gain some traction on the conservative side. I hope people on the conservative side of things, even if you are a pro-life person, you think you be careful what you wish for. There were stories about states that were considering punishing people for traveling to another state. Now, notwithstanding the issue itself, and I understand wanting to protect the unborn. I think across the spectrum here at WYAB, everybody here are pro-life people and understand the urgency of that. Of course, I am a consistently pro-life person. I don't believe we should be murdering people halfway around the world either. I think an unborn child at the receiving end of a drone strike in a country that we have no business in the first place is just as egregious as the abortion mills here in the United States. But there was talk of holding women accountable if they left their state and traveled to another state to have these procedures. And this is where I say I part company with these large groups. This is something to be feared if you believe that the government should now be in charge of your movements around the country. What will you do when you can't go out of state for ivermectin the next time something comes around? Or to buy a gun? Do you believe that people in New York with these, I guess they've been repealed, pulled back a little bit. The Supreme Court's been doing some pretty interesting things lately, but one of these states, one of these blue states, would you restrict the ability of somebody in a blue state to go legally buy a gun in a red state and bring it back to the blue state? Or to do anything that the political class might object to? And this is what I say. People get swept up in these things, in these large groups of people, and they start just dancing and wanting to push it further and further as fast as they can, not ever thinking about the repercussions here. What about crossing state lines to protest? Should you be able to do something along those lines? And if we start talking about curtailing the rights of citizens to go from one state to another state where something might be legal, even though I understand the importance of this issue to many people, if you believe that the government should be able to control our bodies to be able to cross state lines to do things in other states, you are really setting quite a precedent that I think will come back to bite you. This is another one of these libertarian warnings that will go unheeded. I imagine some states may actually end up passing laws along these lines. We should not be curtailing the movement of Americans. If you want to go to blue states and fight the battle of the pro-life cause in one of the blue states, I think that certainly is an admirable thing to do, but do not push this thing to somewhere where you cannot pull it back. Giving the government more and more power over what we can do, there is a possibility it may save the life of an unborn somewhere at some point, but I'll tell you what, you're opening up another can of worms and giving more power to the governments, whether they be at the state or the federal level, on allowing people to even travel from state to state. That is a very dangerous precedent to set. And I would hope the conservatives would be able to see far enough in the future and all the problems with that. We've just been through this mass vaccination campaign, which is really an abomination. You can imagine if people were not allowed to leave their state when they rolled out one of these things, how horrific you would think that is if you're trying to escape vaccinations with what we've just seen. Think these things through before you jump on and cheer for some of the most controlling, overarching government regulations, even if the cause is just. Be right back.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain.
One of the things that the National Libertarian Party is focusing in on now that they've been taken over by sane people is the idea of national divorce. And the Roe versus Wade decision is one of those things that is a positive in that it has freed the states from overarching federal dictates. You know, the Supreme Court's been doing interesting things. They're restoring some power to the states in several different issues. There was a ruling with the EPA that was a positive for repealing some of the administrative state. Some restrictions, state restrictions, I think particularly in New York against the Second Amendment that were Second Amendment rights were held up by the Supreme Court. So they're doing a lot of things there to try to return power to the states. And, you know, this is where I think our future lies. The idea that, and I've said this so many times, the idea that 537 guys and gals of a corrupt class, this is the House, the Senate, the President, the Vice President, are making laws to oversee 330 million Americans makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Why should Nancy Pelosi be dictating what goes on in Mississippi from her San Francisco penthouse? Ditto to Roger Wicker telling anybody in Portland, Oregon what they should be doing. The idea is the only way that I think this country really survives without a civil war or a revolution is we just need to start admitting we have different cultures in different parts of the country and we all need to run our own affairs. This also gives all Americans the ability to take the not so big leap to just move from one region or one state to another state where you seek your level of freedom. And this is probably going to happen. You know, we should be more like what Europe used to be. Now, the EU is to Europe what the Washington, D.C. political class is to the United States. We should be basically our own countries almost, except coordinated through somebody that provides for a common national defense and maybe some semblance of border control. But outside of that, the states should be setting their own course. There's all kinds of times throughout history, some fairly recent history, where states have sought to impose themselves, use the federal government to impose what they want on neighboring states. Some of the conservatives out there, and this is my problem with the traditional conservative and Republican out there, is that they talk a lot about freedom, but they don't really mean freedom. They mean the freedoms that they want, but I tell you, you cannot pick and choose your freedoms. The attorneys general in I think it was Nebraska and Oklahoma had sued the state of Colorado because Colorado made marijuana legal. And some of the citizens from neighboring states would go over there and buy that legal product there. And these attorneys, what they wanted, these are Republicans and conservatives in these states, wanted the federal government to come and crack down on Colorado because Colorado had made a different decision than them. The Colorado citizens had made a different decision than them. We need to break up. We need to break apart into certain areas, certain regions, and be state by state when it comes to ruling over ourselves. This is eventually going to happen to some degree. There's a lot of people out there chomping at the bit for some level of civil war. I tell you, that's a terrible, terrible, terrible idea. Your children will have their lives completely uprooted. There will be a lot of chaos there. You're worried about your 401k right now. Let a civil war break out. You will be ruined in it. And you have empowered a police state and a huge federal government over the last 50 years that will crush you like a bug. None of the patriots that I know are going to be the ones willing to fire the first shot, because they will make such an example of you, as we have seen from the January 6th protesters all the way to Julian Assange. The federal government does not really put up with any troublemakers if you actually act out. And so to avoid a revolution or a civil war in this country, we just need to agree to disagree and all retire to our own separate quarters. Now, this is going to happen. This is interesting, too, just to tie a little of the financial into it. What is going to happen with our federal government as interest rates rise here in this country? I want you to think about the implications to this and your pocketbooks and to the solvency of our federal government right now. We have, in the most recent year, paid just shy of $400 billion of interest on the national debt. And I think that that becomes a small, you know, Roger Wicker, Cindy Hyde Smith, Michael Guest in our neck of the woods right here all voted to give Ukraine $54 billion. This doesn't even sound like a lot to us when we start talking about trillions and trillions of dollars. These numbers don't seem to add up. But if you stop and think about the fact that they are picking your pockets every year because politicians, some currently serving and those that came before them, have overspent so horribly that they are taking $400 billion out of the pockets of American citizens just to pay interest on the debt. Just the interest. And they add to that debt, meaning that every year the interest goes up, and people are still convinced with your taxes, I'm paying for roads and bridges. I'm paying for a civilized society. So we paid, I think in this most recent year, something like $382 billion in interest off of the money that was run up by this corrupt political class. But this is at historic low interest rates. I want you to listen to some of the numbers. Someone did the calculation on just our current debt levels right now. The federal government will spend, if interest rates go up to 3% from the 1.5% they're at right now, we'll be at around $716 billion a year just in interest on the national debt. Should interest rates climb to 5%, which historically that's not a huge number. Back before the Federal Reserve embarked on this money-printing adventure that is showing catastrophic results right now, 5% was not unheard of. At 5%, our federal government will be paying $1.2 trillion just in interest on the debt. Should things really go awry, if they decided to really tackle inflation, and the only way to truly tackle inflation is you need to get interest rates above the rate of inflation. The Fed has no intention of doing that. I've told you, they're going to chicken out and they're going to let this inflation. There is going to be a time in the future where you look back at 2022 as the good days. Do you remember back when inflation was only 8.6%? Oh, yeah, things were going along great then. When you see your double-digit even recognized inflation, if interest rates were taken up to actually combat inflation at around 8%, the interest on the national debt would be $1.9, almost $2 trillion a year. This is what your Republicans and your Democrats have done to you. And most of us, myself included, because at one point, particularly during the 1990s, I did vote for some of these Republicans that spent this money. And so I take some of the blame too. At least I woke up in the early 2000s and stopped participating, stopped voting for these people. But the people that you have voted for, if we have interest rates of 8%, $2 trillion a year just in interest on the debt. My point being, this federal government is not long for this world. There is no way. And the sad thing is, the truly sad thing is that here in the state of Mississippi, we have made ourselves such an incredible welfare state. You know, I'm the first one to talk about how much I opposed the banker bailouts of the 2008 crisis, the money that California got during COVID to help bail it out of its problems. States like Illinois But Mississippi is a welfare child. Even run with a supermajority Republicans here, we can't figure out how to be prosperous enough to pay our own bills. We are on the receiving end, maybe the worst in the country. I know we're in the top three welfare states in this country. We can't detach from this federal government. Our politicians here in the state of Mississippi are so uncreative and uninteresting that they are just happy to see these federal dollars come in. But if we are paying at the federal level $2 trillion a year just in interest on the debt, where is that money that comes to Mississippi going to come from? Where is the money that the federal government uses to run this monstrosity that it's become? Where is that money going to come from? Tax rates will have to be, for the majority of Americans, north of 50% to start paying these kinds of bills. Now, I don't believe interest rates will voluntarily go this high, but they may involuntarily. The Fed will reverse course and start to cut interest rates probably before they get to 3%, because the wheels are going to start coming off the bus. The problem is that if they start printing money again, the inflation of 2022 will be the good old days in years coming. The national divorce and getting off of the teat of this federal government and staking your own course is going to be the only way to survive. I have already made the conscious decision to understand I cannot stay in Mississippi, I would imagine. There will be a time where Mississippi will have to, in order to keep the Fed's dollars coming in, Mississippi will probably have to enforce some really horrific policies on us. And so I will leave for a state that can actually detach from this sinking ship of the federal government. States like Texas, possibly Florida. I'll have to do my research. Mississippi, it is such a shame. With all of the conservative voices here in this state, with a supermajority Republican legislature in Jackson, Mississippi, that they have got us hopelessly tied to this sinking ship, which is the federal government. And what happens with those things, we saw this back in, I don't remember what the year was, but if you remember, Mississippi didn't want to change the drinking age. We were forced to, by threat of the federal government, of withholding, I believe it was highway funds at the time. Before that, we were forced to change our speed limits here in Mississippi, again, by the federal government with some financial strings tied to it. Mississippi is in one of the most vulnerable positions in the country, even though we consider ourselves this conservative state with a super majority Republican legislature. But we are one of the most vulnerable to the dictates of Washington, D.C. because of all that sweet cash. And that's a real shame. I am, in my mind, already trying to figure out, and I'm nimble, I don't have any kids here. Some of the work that I'm pursuing, I could do pretty much anywhere. I will be looking for somewhere else to go because Mississippi cannot divorce this national government. And nobody, or very few, maybe some of the people in the House Freedom Caucus here, very few of our people in the legislature in Mississippi are even thinking about this, that we need to start looking for a way to detach from this thing, this Washington, D.C. disaster that is taking place right now, not just under Joe Biden. This debt, the interest on it, the insolvency of the national government will take place regardless of how you vote in 2022, 2024. It will continue, and Mississippi will go down with that ship unless they start doing something creative at the state level. Got to take a break. Be right back.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Caller called during the break and made a great point. You know, I talk about this fact that Mississippi is tethered to a failing federal government. And I'm telling you, they're going to do whatever they can at the legislative level in this state to keep those federal dollars flowing. And he made the point, you know, we've seen it in recent history. So-called conservatives here in Mississippi kept sending Thad Cochran even after. You know, we make a lot of fun of Joe Biden right now. He is obviously mentally deficient. That may be the politest thing I can say about the mental condition of Joe Biden right now. We know Joe Biden isn't running his own affairs. There are people behind him telling him what to say, what to do. He probably doesn't know where he is when he gets to a state. We saw that little list where they said, you take a seat, you say hello, then they will say, you know. But this is the state of Mississippi where I listened to some of these WGOP radio stations around here back when Chris McDaniel was challenging Thad Cochran. And you had these WGOP radio stations saying, you got to send Thad Cochran back up to Congress. They knew he was mentally incapacitated. They knew this, but they wanted to send him back up there because they said, we got to keep those federal dollars flowing to Mississippi. That was the whole reason Thad Cochran was so popular in the state. That's why I have so little tolerance for people who just label themselves conservatives and talk about things like term limits. So dissatisfied with the federal government. But you sent Thad Cochran back to the Senate over and over again because he was the guy that can milk the cow and bring us home a little something. And now, part of this huge federal deficit we have right now, Thad Cochran was responsible. He was the head guy at the Appropriations Committee until the day he left Congress. And that's why people kept sending it back, that we wanted to bring that federal cash back to Mississippi. This is a Republican senator in a supermajority Republican state, and we were all begging for the scraps from Washington, D.C. And now we are so vulnerable to being tethered to this failing federal government. As I said, the Libertarian Party is making a big deal right now. We just need to have a national divorce. The federal government's insolvent, and I believe it's lost at the federal level. We can't even unseat a two-term congressman here in a primary season, even with some pretty unpopular votes. The federal government is lost. The Republican Party is hopelessly corrupt. The Democratic Party is just cuckoo. I mean, it's just gone. It's completely gone off the deep end. And so what needs to happen is it is time for the lifeboats, each state, to detach from the Titanic and sail to safety. Mississippi, we're waiting on the captain to save us all. And it's just not going to happen. I hate to tell you, it's not going to be Trump either. Trump's not going to save this federal government, make everything okay. You can sit on your hands and wait and give the Republicans 2 years when they win back the House. Believe me, I'll be happy to see the Republicans take a red wave in November of this year. It will stop some of the insanity. And because they've got a president to oppose, they might actually be kind of fiscally conservative to a small degree. They'll keep funding the warfare state. That money will keep flowing to places like Ukraine. But they may stop some of the worst policies. They may help us in the energy policy because they'll be going against Joe Biden. But then elect a Republican president in 2024. You get yourself back into a Republican president, a Republican House and Senate in Washington, D.C. And they stop fighting against anything and they just do what they do, which is just spend. Which will further saddle us and will head us to these numbers I'm talking about. $2 trillion a year just to service the debt at the federal level. So you can't vote yourself out of this stuff. D.C. is lost. It's over. It is over. It's just playing out now. This is the end game. And Mississippi is so vulnerable to this. What happens if tomorrow the feds cut off their cash? They just can't afford to send Mississippi all their welfare money anymore. It might be the best thing that could ever happen to Mississippi. It's just like we talk a lot about, welfare recipients sitting around on their cans. Well, basically, Mississippi is just a welfare queen, doing nothing interesting, not really trying, don't really have to try, just waiting on that federal check to come in. For the longest time, it was Thad Cochran got us that money, that fine, upstanding Republican. But sometimes when you cut welfare off, you find some people go, oh, you know what, the checks have stopped, maybe I'll actually get to work now. Maybe Mississippi could do something interesting if they were cut off from this federal funding, but they ain't going to do it voluntarily. It's just going to happen. There's going to be a period of transition. Anyway, the national divorce is going to be real, and you should want that more than a civil war for all of you keyboard warriors out there right now on Twitter or talking to your buddies about how tough you're going to be to take up arms and shoot some of these libtards. That's going to turn out so badly for you. We can just agree to disagree. I'll retreat to our own little corners here. Unfortunately, Mississippi is just, we're a welfare child. What are we going to do? How are we going to resist the federal government. There's actually a lot of news on the green front, you know, this climate change stuff. Over the past week, I'm going to have to kind of compile some of my stories. May talk about it tomorrow or Thursday. But boy, yeah, I tell you what, this is becoming a real danger to our way of life at this point. Its policies move towards electric cars. And you think Mississippi is going to be able to, with you know, not go along with all these things when they tie our highway funds to it or tie us to this or tie us to that and enforce some of these climate things on us? Because it's not even the political parties running the streets, it's the administrative states. These big bureaucracies that boss people around. They're bossing, I mean, they're putting farmers out of business right now through policies. A lot of them inflation that would have happened under Donald Trump or Joe Biden, because the inflation was baked into the cake. Biden will make it worse, no doubt about that. I tell you what, boy, we are vulnerable here in the state of Mississippi. I gotta take a break. I'll be right back. All right, only got a few minutes left in the show today. I guess the newest story out has been the shooting up in Illinois at the July 4th, the Independence Day celebration. We need to return to calling it Independence Day because that's what it was about. Independence from a tyranny less than the one we're suffering from under Washington, D.C. right now. I will remind you again to tie a bow on this entire show. I brought it up with these mass shootings for the 5.5 years I've been on this radio station, because I've researched it. I'm so wary of the over-medication of Americans. This guy seems like the prime candidate for somebody who is on some level of psychotropic drugs. He's obviously a strange dude, but we will see. You know, the Cause Drudge Report has got a headline on American Madness, nation's 309th mass shooting this year. I'm like everybody else. I don't know what happened to Drudge. I don't know who's taking it over, but they definitely have a propagandist take on a lot of things that is fairly new to them. Just over the last 4 or 5 years, they've made a change. I still check it out to just get a temperature of the country, see what's going on. It's a news aggregator, but the idea that there have been 309 mass shootings, you know, I talked about it not long ago. 3,100 people a year in a nation of 330 million people are actually shot and killed by a stranger. I don't know how many people are struck by lightning each year, but your chances of being shot and killed by a stranger is really very small. I think that, you know, the crime is obviously accelerated in certain areas of the country, most of those that already had crime problems before. And I tie this all back to financial stuff. But this guy, I guess we'll learn more about him, but he certainly seems to be a weird dude, and we'll follow this story like I followed all the rest of them that were on these Paxils, Zolofts. They're on these mood altering drugs, and these drugs, like these vaccines, come with admitted warnings that then they just try to pretend it don't matter. But in my research, about 95%, there's about 5% of these shooters that make headlines in mass shooting events, about 5% of them I haven't confirmed were on these antidepressants. It usually takes a few weeks before the news gets around to they were under psychiatric care and they'd been medicated for a couple of years. You know, these kinds of stories come out. The media never gets around to the fact of this common thread through all of these mass shooters that they're on these psychotropic drugs. But the psychotropic drugs themselves, many of them with black box warnings that say, warning, may cause suicidal or homicidal ideation. And why we dance around, well, we know why. We know why. Because the pharmaceutical companies run the mainstream media in this country. The reason we don't hear the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of stories about adverse reactions to the vaccines is the same reason we do not hear about all of these shooters being on these psychotropic drugs. I saw footage from that thing. It really is just horrific to think you could go to an event like this, but I caution people in just thinking that the wheels are coming off the bus and you're just constantly in danger. This is, to me, more fear-mongering. We are never guaranteed another day. I just drove from here to Dallas knowing that I had to pay attention, but that at any point somebody could make a mistake on the road somewhere around me as I'm going 85 miles an hour, and that could be all she wrote. We're never guaranteed another day, but I'll be following this guy to find out. He looks like a mental case. There's no doubt about that. This was one weird dude. People will ascribe all kinds of things to this, and this will be used for further calls for gun control. Because that's what they do with these things when the fact of the matter is, I believe we have medicated. They're talking a lot about the fact these shooters are so young. Well, that's because this is the target audience for these medications, our high schoolers. Don't adjust, start, or stop any of these medications. That's when they are most dangerous. That's all the time I got. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try.